Rachel Hubbard, thank you so much for coming to the return of On Tap for the fall season. We are working on a series of stories that you've been hearing for the last 3 days about education, and we're going to be discussing some issues related to the repeal of Common Core, what's happening with state standards, some of the other issues that are facing our schools. This is a controversial topic. We know it is, so we just want to remind you that this is supposed to be a civil discussion, a place where you can ask questions or provide input, but please, sorry. Okay, so this is supposed to be a civil discussion, a place where you can provide input or ask questions, but we really want to make sure that it stays civil. So thank you again for coming, and also, I'll bring around some cards, but the Public Insight Network is a way that informs our stories. So if you're a teacher or a parent or a grandparent or a school board member, and you would like to be contacted in the future when we do education stories so that we can ask you the questions that we ask our sources or potentially be a source, we're not going to put you on a sales. We're not going to ask for anything other than the input that you have. So I'll bring those cards around if you want to join the Public Insight Network. You'll get an email every couple of months, and we'll tell you what we're working on and ask you for your input. Thank you guys so much for coming, and with that, I'll turn it over to Michael Cross. My name is Rachel Hubbard.
Thank you, Rachel. We are so glad to be back at Picasso's for our On Tap discussion. This time, again, we're talking about education. Now, if you hadn't heard, just to kind of fill you in on what's happened. This past spring, the state legislature passed House Bill 3399, which abolished Common Core in the state of Oklahoma. In House Bill 3399, they also put together a roadmap for the State Department of Education to create new state standards in math and reading only. Social studies and science will not be touched. It is only math and reading. So today, after a two-month delay, the Board of Education finally said okay to a steering committee to create these new... Did someone just say what? Okay. You confused me. A steering committee to create these new... To create committees to create the new standards. Got that? All right, because there will be a test later. And joining me right now on our panel, just want to introduce Ann Kane. She is the superintendent of Stillwater Public Schools. What? No. And then we have Joel Robison, who is the chief of staff for Janet Barisi. Please give him a hand. So let's start, first off, with you, Joel. Can you explain what happened today at today's Board of Education meeting?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me tonight, first of all. Today, the board voted to create, as Michael mentioned earlier, a steering committee that will be charged with identifying a specific process that we will go through as a state to develop new English language arts and math standards.
So let's talk about Common Core. As we talked with in the story that I just did on Tuesday, your school is kind of staying the course when it comes to Common Core. Explain how you're doing that in and still being compliant with House Bill 3399.
Yeah, first of all, Stillwater, along with other districts, have always viewed the state standards as a minimum, and our district has always been known for going above the minimum. Our community expects that. We're a college town. And so this summer, because the legislature did this kind of in the 11th hour, and 2 months later it's time to start school, then our teachers worked all summer looking at our current standards that were in place and seeing where the past objectives, which goes back to 2003, not 2010. That's kind of a long step backwards. And to see where we had to inject those into our current standards so that we follow the letter of the law.
And let's go ahead and open to the questions. Does anyone have any questions yet? Because if not, let me go ahead and ask Joel. So Superintendent Kane's doing this. She's doing some of the Common Core. What's the reaction of the State Department of Education with Stillwater? And what I understand is about 50% of other schools staying with some form of Common Core.
Well, I think...
Go ahead, Joel.
No. No, obviously the law is clear. The law says that PASS is the standards for the state of Oklahoma this school year and until we create new standards. However, I think we would tend to agree that standards are a minimum and that if districts can identify ways to go above that minimum and still be true to the PASS standards, using different teaching techniques or other things that were incorporated in what was Common Core, then I believe that they would be within the letter of the law, and we would have no problem with them moving forward as long as what they were doing above did correlate with PASS. And I would like to say that we have staff people in the agency today that have been working hard all summer with Oklahoma teachers to find those tie-ins between PASS and Common Core so that we can help Oklahoma teachers more successfully make this transition.
And let me ask you, Restore Oklahoma Public Education has worked very hard to kill Common Core. They have heard some complaints about children, not from Stillwater, I'm just saying overall, children at schools bringing home books that have the big stamp, you know, in line with Common Core or something to that effect. What is your answer to those parents who are worried that their children are still learning Common Core when House Bill 3399 says no?
Well, first of all, there isn't a Common Core textbook. The publishers were marketing this is a Common Core textbook, but Common Core is a set of standards. So working with kids on being critical thinkers, when they leave high school and go into college or into their career, they need to be able to make critical decisions. They need to analyze data. There's not a textbook for that. However, we have beefed it up when we have adopted textbooks. We spend $500,000 a year on new textbooks. Each year we adopt a new subject. It's a 6-year cycle. And so the textbooks that we have adopted over the past 4 years have a more rigorous curriculum in them so that kids are critically thinking about the material that they're reading and learning. So it, for us to say that we just have to get rid of these textbooks, we don't have, well, that'd be $2 million that I have to find to immediately replace the books. And so I would challenge anyone to say it's bad for students, whether they're 3 years old or my 20-year-old's going to our alternative school, that it's bad for them to critically think, look at a data chart, make a decision, be able to write effectively. I don't know how many business people have told us over the years, you're turning out a product that can't write. Now, my other soapbox is I think the big part of it is social media. Right? I mean, how do we text? We don't text in complete sentences or spell words
TXT.
Correctly. Yes. Thank you, Michael. But that's my response is it's not, there isn't a Common Core textbook, but publishers were very savvy in marketing it as that.
They wanted to sell the books. Yeah.
Correct.
So, got a question right over here.
As always, where is the money? I mean, the federal money, is it going to be affected? And do we know it's not going to be affected for the state?
There we go. Where's the federal money involved?
We do have a waiver from the provisions of No Child Left Behind. We are up for renewal. One of the provisions of the No Child Left Behind waiver is that we have college and career ready standards. How that is determined is either you adopt a set of standards that are that a consortium of states have agreed to be college and career ready, which Common Core would fall into, or our regents would provide us documentation that they've studied our past standards and that they are, in fact, college and career ready. We have not gotten that certification from higher education yet. We're still waiting on that. So while we're doing everything in our power to keep that waiver from No Child Left Behind, we are facing a challenge on that. And to the specific answer to your question is, if we were to lose the waiver, then one of the requirements of No Child Left Behind is that if you have a school that's on the that you don't meet AYP, adequate yearly progress, that you have to put 20% of your Title I money off to the side and use it for some specific purposes the federal government tells you to. So that could impact school districts if we were to lose the waiver.
And how much of a concern is that?
Well, it's a huge concern because the No Child Left Behind said that, was it by 14, 15, every student would be perfectly on grade level, at every grade level in every subject. Well, that's unrealistic. So, every district would be losing part of their federal money, which means losing staff.
So that's this year, so, yeah.
Correct. So that's why we're anxiously waiting to see what they're going to do about approving the waiver.
I was like most teachers. I assumed that Common Core was a good idea. Very supportive of Common Core. Higher standards is important. Then, like most teachers, once I realized that the testing went along with it, I realized we were heading to a disaster. Question I have is this. A year ago, the Carnegie Corporation, using the best social science in the world, estimated that Common Core, unless we spent megabucks on student supports, not teacher supports, student supports, would double the dropout rate. That's not even counting the testing. They estimated that if in every single classroom you had a top quartile teacher, you would still double the dropout rate. How in the world did any rational person think we could move ahead on College Common Core and not have at least a multi-year moratorium on testing?
Want me to do that one? I always think it's important on whatever set of standards you choose to have. In the past few years, we've had Common Core in Oklahoma. Now we're going to have PASS moving forward for the next few years. You need measurements on how students are doing to achieve or to learn what the standards are that are being taught. We have a set of state assessments that are given, have been given ever since the implementation of No Child Left Behind. That I think provides some measures. Obviously, local school districts have other assessments that they use that teachers find beneficial, and that's good too. I just think that anybody that has a thought that all assessments are evil and that assessments don't play a role in education, that's just incorrect. I mean, there has to be measurement of what's being learned, and that's what assessments' roles are.
Ann? Actually, the big question is, you know, because we're talking about a moratorium on testing. Couldn't you have a moratorium on testing?
No, you can't, because the state law says that we're going to assess. So I think there has to be a rational midpoint, and Joel was kind of alluding to that you have to do it, but we've become so test crazy, and in fact there's some states that have said we're going to keep Common Core, but we're not going to do the testing. That in fact, what I go back to on this whole craziness, because it truly is crazy, is our teachers have worked so hard for 4 years. And my job as superintendent is to advocate for my staff, and it's to advocate for my students. And so when they tell us we like Common Core, we don't like the assessment piece, number one, because we haven't seen what those tests look like. You know, the whole consortium was supposed to be creating them. And we knew that we were going to have to roll out a new product that we didn't know how it would look while we did the old test. There was this transition period. So that was a little crazy. But the whole thing is just, we want to be accountable. I get very upset when people say, well, schools don't want to be accountable. That's not true. We want to be accountable. In fact, I started teaching in the 70s. You know, we tested in September, we tested in May. I never gave the results to the parents or did anything with them. I made a cute notebook, put it on my shelf. And we are so much better now, I think, in public ed. So that's kind of my two cents on it. Sorry, it's kind of soapbox.
There you go.
You may be sorry you asked me, Michael.
You folks are at the top level of knowing where the students' strengths are and where they are not statewide and in your system. When you look at Common Core, or when you look at the existing system of our kids, when they show up to those businesses that you hear from, when you look at the results in elementary, in middle, in high school, where are the weaknesses? Where are the strengths in what you see now? You've seen all those tests. You've had time to look at them. Where are some strengths and weaknesses? And why is that kind of information not well known to Michael Cross and others so that the parents would know, hey, I should work more with this at home with my kids? That's
well, in fact, our test scores have jumped up in Stillwater in the past 2 years, not the third year. The first year we were implementing it was a little difficult because now we are really asking kids to think. And if you think about when you and I were in school, it was just straight recall, right? Who was the main character in the story? What color was the shirt? Where did he travel to? And now we're asking kids to analyze. And so we have seen our test scores jump up over the past 2 years, we think directly because of causing kids to look at their work a little differently. In fact, our ACT average came back this year, the highest ever in Stillwater. So we believe that it's having a positive impact, but we're still struggling, to answer your other part of your question, we're still struggling with critically thinking, getting kids to slow down and realize that if you're gonna do great work, it's not going to be a quick and easy answer. You're gonna have to take time to analyze. We're still struggling with that piece.
Joel, go ahead with that one.
I think a large percentage of our schools are doing excellent work, have students that are achieving very well. And I think parents get great reports. I know at least on the statewide assessments, parents get great reports on those assessments as they're given that outline, you know, their individual students' strengths and weaknesses, which I think is very important. But there are also obviously schools that are facing challenges that I don't think anybody believes are getting the sort of student achievement that you would like to see, or that would be necessary for those students to be successful when they get out of school, because that's what school's for, is to prepare that student to be successful whatever they choose to do in life. So I think from a state level anyway, we need to provide some clarity as to, you know, some of those differences. You know, which schools are doing well, which schools may be struggling, how can we identify the strengths of those high-performing schools and see if we can transfer some of those practices to the low-performing schools to help them as well.
And Joel, what about transparency? He did mention about, you know, making sure that everybody knows the answer. Now, I know FERPA has got some problems. You have to make sure that you don't,
sure,
you don't interfere with the child's privacy. But what about transparency and getting that out? What is the State Department of Education doing there?
Oh, I think for the last several years, we've been doing our best to try to become more and more transparent. Let's just look at financial transparency, maybe not academic achievement transparency, but financial. On our website, if you'll look, we have a very in-depth financial transparency website. If you want to see in what your local school district is spending their money on, you can see it on that website. If you want to see who makes what in that school district, it will tell you that. So from a financial transparency perspective, I think we've made good progress. In academic transparency, obviously, and this is, I'll go ahead and step into it, because this is the part that's going to become, Ann will probably have a different view of this than I do. obviously the point of the A through F reporting system was to provide a simple to understand view of academic achievement at each school site. All those records are available on our website for people to look at. So we agree that transparency is very important, and we're taking steps every day to try to improve that and to try to help parents, teachers, the community understand really where their schools are at and what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are.
Well, Joel, you just opened a can of worms there. And would you like to respond to A through F grading?
Out the door.
Okay. You know, it is a snapshot. And so even though we may challenge the formula, because we still believe it penalizes high poverty and high mobility and students who don't speak English, known as ELL students, we have a real concern with that. A lot of students come to school with, you know, not even 500 words in their vocabulary. They don't have a parent or a grandparent at home that's talking to them the minute they're born and reading to them and helping them develop that vocabulary. So they come to school. I've been in classrooms where they don't know how to listen to a story because no one's ever read to them. And so you start far behind. And I'm not sure that the A to F report card allows for that. On the other hand, we use those report cards and figure out, even in our schools in Stillwater that have an A, they're not an A all the way down on their report card, so they still have some areas of growth. And so we use it as a measure to say, we know we're great, but we need to be better, and how are we going to improve? So, but if I talk about transparency for a minute, yeah. Someone was asking about test, you know, how we communicate that with parents on academic.
Yeah.
So we do what's called data boards. And so at our elementary schools and our middle school, and then now our junior high is starting to do it, our teachers can tell a parent the exact skills in math and reading that their children are able to do or not do. We track them the entire year.
So this kind of goes a little bit back to A to F grading. One of the things that we've been hearing as we've been talking to people about Common Core is that people believe that A to F grading is part of Common Core. They believe that the third grade reading assessment is part of Common Core. They believe that the high school graduation requirement is part of Common Core. So all of these things that they seem to, when we ask them, well, what do you disagree with about Common Core, they name something that is not part of Common Core. So, one, do you think that Common Core just gave an easy name to some other potentially unpopular reforms? And two, how do you separate all that stuff out? Because all of these came to pass at the same time or close to it.
Well, I think part of the problem is, how do you define Common Core, right? And if you can't define it in one sentence or less, you're in trouble. So I think part of the problem was we couldn't define it quickly, right? And then there were people that misrepresented what Common Core was. And so it just started turning into, I call it a smorgasbord. So anything we didn't like, we're going to associate. Like in Stillwater, a lot of parents would call me or email me and go, how come you're not going to do handwriting anymore? Common Core got rid of handwriting. Well, no, that's not true. That wasn't even part of it. I mean, so I think there was a craziness, and I think that's one reason it ended up going down the tubes, was because it just developed a life of its own, and a lot of these other things, some of them weren't even state initiatives, got attached to it. And, you know, so, you know, you dump it, you start over and do something where I think the biggest problem was we didn't have all the stakeholders at the table. So, you know, that yes, that was a grassroots effort by 46 states to create it, but how many teachers were at the table in writing those standards, right? Nationwide, how many teachers? Not very many. And so, and how many parents were at the table helping to write those standards? And so when we forget who's implementing a decision we make, then you get in trouble.
I do want to shift the conversation because we're about halfway through, and Common Core is important. But Common Core no longer exists in the state of Oklahoma. The State Department of Education now has the task in the next 19 months to get to the state legislature, new state standards. So kind of thinking about this as you think about your questions, I want to go with you, Joel. Is it possible in 19 months to create standards that are better than Common Core, which took several years and experts, although maybe not as many parents and teachers, experts across the nation to create? Is that possible in the next 19 months for Oklahoma to do this?
I think the answer is yes. I do want to make one thing kind of a clarification. The State Department of Education isn't charged with this. The State Board of Education is charged with this, and they took the lead today by setting up that steering committee. The reason why I say yes, I think it can be done, is if we can get buy-in from everybody or in the state of Oklahoma, the teachers, the administrators, the school board, higher ed, everybody at the table. There are many excellent sets of standards out there in this country to look at that we can model with. I think it can be done. I think when the process is over with, if it's done correctly, and I'm sure it will be, that Oklahoma will be very proud of their new set of standards, and there will be no debate about whether or not they're college and career ready standards.
And can I ask you the same question about whether or not they're going to be ready? And I'll come over to you.
Well, I don't think we have a choice, right? So just like in your personal life, when you have a deadline, you figure out how you're going to meet that deadline.
So we will find a way.
Right.
Right. Okay.
You were mentioning a moment ago the students who, the grades and often as well the standardized tests are hardest on the English language learners, the children living in poverty. When we're expecting children to be reading by kindergarten, what are we doing to help those children catch up?
When we're expecting children to read by kindergarten?
By third grade. The open house that I attended last week, I was informed that they expected the kindergartners to at least have sight words, be reading much more than I remember.
By the end of the year?
Going into
kindergarten, they need to know sight words?
That's what school?
I think it was Reagan Elementary in Norman.
Wow. So you guys don't
each,
do that. You
each school and yeah. Each local school district and each school site, each teacher, they all kind of come with their own expectations. But the question is, is a legitimate question is, obviously, you do have students that come to school with different levels of being prepared, what their backgrounds offered them, and all those sorts of things. The answer that we're all struggling with, I think, is the reality is all those students, in order to be successful, as I mentioned earlier, need to have skills when they get to the end of the process. How do you ensure that a student that comes to your school very far behind can make those the significant gains that's going to be required of them through their school career, and what benchmarks do you set to see if they're meeting those goals for them to be successful at the end? Because the reality is, when a student leaves our school and goes to college or goes to apply for a job or whatever, they're not really going to be their employer or their college admittance officer aren't going to be terribly concerned about what their background is. They're going to be more concerned about what their abilities are. And we have to prepare all students to be successful.
And does Stillwater have pre-K, full-time pre-K or half-time pre-K right now?
We have full-day pre-K at all the schools.
Which would help with a lot of the students that we're talking about.
Right.
Now, state law had required all schools to have full-day kindergarten and half-day, at least half-day pre-K by now, aren't?
Well, pre-K is not required.
Okay, pre-K is...
No, but full-day kinder is.
Yeah, full-day kindergarten.
Right.
Okay.